Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I present to you Red Spotlight Entertainment.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Lira, and welcome to Red Spotlight number 54, Marvel Shaken, Not Stirred. With me, I have your lovely co-host with me, Alexis Soto. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm just happy to be here.
That's great. Notice how it's quite peaceful.
Yeah. It's almost as if there's been this dark, eerie, disgusting presence removed from the formula. As if we went back to
the formula. You just had to.
No, but it's almost as if there's been this dark veil lifted. As if something of darkness isn't here. But it's great, Kyle, to be with you today on a podcast where we can, you know, be ourselves and just have a good time.
I'm eating, by the way, guys, so if you were crunching throughout the whole entire thing, because I've not eaten. It's a thing called churritos.
Yeah, Kyle just really barely discovered what they are.
It's really good. I put, like...
He never had chamoy in his life.
I put chamoy, I put lemon juice in here, and it's pretty good. This is what you call a snack, yes?
Yes, yes.
So it's a really good snack.
Have the microphone away when you're gonna be punching. When you're not talking.
We have a lot to talk about, guys. We have Daniel Craig news, a little 007 news. Inhumans.
Again. Because we didn't actually get to it last time.
Alexa saw a movie about anthropomorphic cars. And he's gonna talk about that, and also we're also going to be talking about, I can't read my own writing. Oh, the MCU crossing a certain number at the box office, a little bit of Spielberg news, a little bit of D23, and Marvel is appearing at a certain famous convention, which we'll get to later. All right here, under the spotlight, in number 54, Marvel, Shaken, Not Stirred. Alexis, talk to me about these Inhumans.
Well, as we were trying to say in our previous podcast, until it all completely went to shit, is that the Inhumans...
Isn't that every episode?
Yes, but especially last time it was just chaotic, and I was just having none of it. The Inhumans trailer obviously it was released in its full HD quote-unquote glory, or lack thereof. The previous time we had discussed this...
I liked it better when it had Scott Buck's name on it, because I couldn't actually make out what was going on.
Mm-hmm. The previous time we discussed this was for the leaked trailer, which was like low quality, and it had, as Kyle said, Scott Buck's name all over it. The difference here, there was like maybe one or two sequences that was added in, but it was more or less the exact same trailer. But as Peter said, it was actually much worse because it was in HD. And you really got to see just how painfully cheap everything looked, lazy, and completely pathetic, it shouldn't be anywhere near the name Marvel, IMAX, or ABC for that fact. And I think the reason why we want to talk about this is because, well, hate to break it to you, but we called it. This... from the very beginning seemed absolutely destined to not be
shit.
Well, yeah, not be that good. And it's looking to be worse than that. And Peter called it when he said, And I actually kind of am taken by surprise by how quickly people are beginning to turn on this show.
Turn.
Because it began with that image. Oh my God, of those horrible costumes.
That Party City looking Halloween costume.
And it kind of looked even worse in the trailer. There's sets, special effects are lacking, and the costumes are terrible. And here's the point that I want to make with this.
Like, it's supposed to look like a palace. And yeah. It looks like how Peter gloriously he described it when we were at his house the other day. It looks like a shopping mall.
Yeah. At best. Not a good one at that.
No.
And that's the sad part about it.
It's a rundown mall.
The Fashion Valley Mall in San Diego. It is spectacular. Anyway, I just want to say it was a really great mall.
I've been there. It's a pretty good mall.
It's great, isn't it? We're not going to review the Fashion Valley Mall on the podcast.
It's very clean.
It is, huh? But I mean, like, I think I'd rather be reviewing the Fashion Valley Mall over the Inhumans trailer.
Let's do that. You know what? Fuck the Inhumans trailer. You know, they have a good selection of stores.
They do. Oh my God. When I was there with Alexis Moreno in May, we were going to go watch the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 premiere at the AMC there, which is one of the cheapest, not like the most inexpensive tickets you'll get at a really great AMC theater. But we were there and we stopped by, guess what? The Disney store. It blows our Disney store completely out of the water.
Of course.
The selection, just the way that it's presented, and the employees are so charming and welcoming. And they have this thing in the middle of the store where they have these mini presentation Disneyland-esque shows. One of the things that I think they were learning to draw BB-8 or Olaf the Snowman, and they showed you how to do it. And I was just captivated by, like...
Did you draw BB-8?
No, I didn't draw BB-8. I was just watching because why can't we have anything like this?
And we can't have nothing nice.
No, we can't have nice things down here in the middle of the pit that we call our lovely Imperial Valley. But yeah, I think Alexis had some nice... They opened up this new store that resembled something from her childhood in Mexico. And she loved that as well. And I think we've completely gone... We've already... I think this show has gone off the rails already.
No, this is entertainment. We're reviewing we're reviewing shopping malls. Which is something I'd rather be doing than reviewing that piece of shit trailer.
And here's the thing, though, about that piece of shit trailer. It is. And I think everybody is rightfully shitting on it for the lack of originality, the lack of... art, the lack of anything that was
that
put into it.
Dog.
Oh my God. Lockjaw.
It has a name?
Yeah. You and animals with names. It's like you can't name things.
I can.
Yeah, we're not even getting into that.
Not forgettable ones.
I am about to go off on some people. Because it is long overdue.
Go for it.
Do you think ABC is in any way at fault for the final product?
Not ABC, Jeff Loeb.
There, exactly. And I think this goes to a lot of people have been attacking ABC personally, and they're associating the ABC name with the quality of the Inhumans trailer, which I think is completely ludicrous, and I would even say downright offensive, because here's the thing. They're saying, oh my God, this trailer looks so ABC. It's like, this would be on ABC. And honestly, that is a complete attack on the name of the network. And I think that really exposes how ignorant they are. And here's why it matters. And yes, you guessed it. I'm going to bring this back to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., ladies and gentlemen. Here's why.
Oh, my God.
When they say, this looks so ABC, don't you for a goddamn second think they're attacking ABC. No. They're attacking Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. by association. This looks so ABC, like that forgettable, ugly-looking Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show that we cared about at the beginning, but then, like, blew up and we left it behind. And I guess we hear things that it's good now, but we refuse to watch it either way, even though I guess it's good. We're not going to watch it. Go It is offensive to the entire community of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. when people say that this trailer looks so ABC. People think, still think, that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is shit. And that it matches the quality they're getting from the other ABC Marvel show, The Inhumans.
There's a show on ABC called Once Upon a Time.
Mm-hmm.
The quality in that show is way better than what we got in Inhumans. Remember when they brought a Maleficent in her dragon form at the end of the first season? That looks way better, way fucking better than the dog. Some of the work that they've done for like going through different dimensions in Once Upon a Time look way better. The CGI ship that Hook drives.
That's way better than what we're seeing here. And in Humans, they're on the moon, apparently? Like, these styrofoam sets?
No, according to Peter, they're in a parking garage.
Yeah, I mean, they're at the Mickey and Friends tram, just to save money.
Hey, don't knock that tram over. That's gold compared to what show's giving us.
But here's what gets me so upset, is that still many people are resistant to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and I believe very much so, that ever since it was renewed and that we had the season finale, and I think Peter alluded to this as much, you're beginning to see a turn happen. I think people are beginning slowly and maybe begrudgingly, they're coming around on this show. But there are still people who I will, like your, and I'm a big fan of his too, but he really upset me recently. I saw The Weekly Planet. Mr. Sunday Movies and somebody else was discussing the show, and like it was like mentioned, I want to say toward the end of their Inhumans discussion, and he said Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is good now all of a sudden, and he was alluding to the fact that maybe it'll take 5 seasons for Inhumans to get good, which is, come on, that's not true. It's infuriating. And to top it off, and you know what? This is my PSA right now. Because I am done.
Go for
it. I am so done with these people who keep bitching and moaning that, oh my God, I miss Phil Coulson. I want Agent Coulson back in the movies.
Wouldn't it be great?
Every time
week.
Somebody says that, I want to take my hands and because here is what is so
violent.
Freaking ludicrous. If you like Phil Coulson so much, you can see him on a freaking TV show for I don't know how many seasons. So, you know, shut the fuck up when it comes to that piece of shit right there, because that is bullshit and it, oh my God. I
love this.
Screw you. Screw all of you. Watch that show. And that's the thing. This is all rooted in the fact that this Inhumans was supposed to be an event, a television event. And it would have, I don't know, got more people to take not only ABC seriously, but then Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. seriously. And my main concern is, if the Inhumans blows the hell up, people are going to automatically, you know what's going to happen? They're not going to attack Scott Buck. They're going to attack ABC. And my thing is, you know who you should be attacking? The president of Marvel TV, Jeff Loeb. He hired Scott Buck for Iron Fist, really bad decision, learned nothing from that, and hired him to work on The Inhumans. And everything you saw on that trailer, by the way, just to be clear, was from the first 2 episodes that will be IMAX. Yeah, that's right. Those 2 episodes will be on IMAX. And here's the thing. Those are the episodes that are supposed to look the best. And if that's what your best is, I don't even want to see what follows that.
Let's break down the trailer, all right? First of all, the civilians on the moon.
The civilian on the moon? Oh, you mean the Inhumans?
Yeah.
The Inhumans, the people that are dressed in, I guess, gray cloaks or gowns, and they're all human, and they all look bland and like.
There's only one alien. One alien, and he's green, and he's wearing the same costume as everybody.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. gave us more variety of Inhumans that you're seeing there in that freaking moon.
The acting, the only one who's giving anything is Ewan Rayon.
And the bad part about that is, it comes off as sad and pathetic. because every line of dialogue he is saying is, oh my God, it's awful. It really is awful. The dialogue is not good at all, and his delivery is weird. It's as if like he's going for something and it's not landing at all.
Well, it's, to be fair, it's not because of the act, his acting, because I could tell that he's trying to give act it's the living shit of it. It's the writing.
The editing, the directing.
Like, oh, we have the victory or something like that. And I'm like, my God.
What I want is freedom. Freedom for all inhumans. Aren't I acting very well? Like, that's all it...
I'm like... Ew, and you could be doing so much better.
This was supposed to be so much better. This was supposed to be Game of Thrones meet the X-Men.
And a lot of other things that don't suit well for me. I've mentioned already the dog. Lockjaw.
Yeah, it looks bad. You can tell it's so fake. And then that teleportation gimmick.
Black Bolt looks like shit.
And it's taking place entirely on Earth.
Yeah, it's Inhumans. You want to see space battles. You want to see space wars. But what are you getting? You're getting downtown LA for the millionth time? You're getting...
I think it's supposed to be Hawaii. What? I guess that's new.
Yeah, and also it does make me mad that because of this, it's going to knock down a notch. Okay, I want to know what your opinion is this. Why do you think people got so turned off with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to begin with?
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. premiered with 12 million viewers. And the reason why it had that much audience is because it was the very first Marvel TV show. And it was very much a show that was billed as feeding off from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And so those 12 million viewers, a lot of those people were already invested in the MCU. They knew Agent Coulson. They were curious enough to see what happened. They had Joss Whedon's name attached to it. He I think, directed that first episode. So there were a lot of things going for it. Marvel was marketing the hell out of that show way back then. And then it premiered. And as somebody who loves that show, and I loved it from the first episode, I will fully admit, as I've said in previous shows, that the first half of season one isn't anything really special. It's nice. I like the characters, but it did feel stereotypical. It felt mediocre. It didn't feel, I guess it just wasn't the show that people were expecting. I think you, Kyle, at one point compared it to the two of the Magic School Bus. That Phil yeah. Coulson was Miss Frizzle. And
it felt like a very spy right. meets... Magic School Bus or something like that.
And I guess some people thought it was referencing to the movies too much, which is BS, because that's what they wanted in the first place.
Then my God, Spider-Man Homecoming must be the most hated thing ever.
It fucking exactly. You know, that thought went through my head. Every single time anybody mentioned the Avengers and Homecoming, I thought, John Campia, go fuck yourself. I said it. Go fuck yourself, because you have an issue with this show that it references the MCU way too many times, but you have no problem with that film literally living and breathing out of a prologue to the Avengers itself. It is bullshit, and I just do not understand the hate. And here's the thing, though. After Captain America the Winter Soldier, oh my God, it's a completely different show. But here's the thing you have to remember. Marissa and Jed, who are the showrunners for that show, knew Winter Soldier was coming. But for the first 15 episodes, they were like, what are we going to do? Because the show doesn't really begin until episode 16. That's when it really gets started. So they unfortunately were kind of handcuffed.
And they made filler episodes.
Yeah.
But it was nice. We got to see Jamie Alexander.
Mm-hmm. But I think what was nice about those first 15 episodes is that, you know, the whole point is to get to know these characters. Mm-hmm. And at first, I can kind of see why people didn't like them. I know you didn't like Ward initially. I was like, whatever on him.
I like good guy Ward.
People didn't like Fitz and Simmons. I thought they were the exact same character. People didn't like Daisy or Sky because she was like this like annoying hacker girl. And so...
Also, another thing. Their characters have expanded way beyond that.
No, but that's the thing, though. People have been saying ever since midway point of season one, and then again in two and three and four, the show has moved beyond leaps and bounds.
For me, it really kickstarted in season two when they started dealing with Inhumans.
That, and I can't believe people have, like, just ignored it. Season two is when I, like, completely fell in love with it, because that's, like, how ambitious is that? The Inhumans, like, and, they're doing it.
And my God, Ghost Rider. What they've done with Ghost Rider is something that the gloriousness of Nicolas fucking Cage couldn't do. There you go.
And you know what happened? Everybody went, when that was announced, people were like, oh my God, why is this on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Why is this happening? It's not going to be good. They're going to drop the ball. And you know what happened? They did it to perfection. And then, what did those people say? Crickets. Silence and crickets. They'd rather not even acknowledge that it happened than to say that it was good. A lot of these people who were rooting for their show to get canceled this year, when it was announced that it was renewed for the fifth season, which, by the way, go team.
We really got it done.
Yeah, we really got it done. A lot of people didn't even cover it at all. It wasn't even news. I believe full well that there are people in this industry who want that show to fail. But you know what? As Clark Gregg said the other week, the reason why this show was renewed was because of the fan base. The fans got it done. So, I mean, we're not going to be covering S.H.I.E.L.D. on Comic-Con because they won't be there. They won't have anything to promote. But I think it's exciting. And the whole thing about this in humans, which is really weird, is what kind of pisses me off is it's kind of really screw with what Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. like spent seasons building to. But what could be a positive thing is if the Inhumans bombs, maybe more people will, well, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a masterpiece by comparison.
Go to the floodgates.
Maybe. Bless you.
I can't wait for the fifth season. I don't consider the Inhumans canon.
I mean, it may be good, but it's highly unlikely. What's next, Kyle?
Great news for me.
Oh, wow.
Great news for me. Wonderful news for me. I felt like, you know personally that I've been kind of in a James Bond kick lately.
The other night you got drunk on two martinis.
Mostly due to this year being the 55th anniversary of Yeah, 55th anniversary of James Bond. Yeah, so, sorry.
Kyle made the famous martini from the Bond series. I had one of those. It has a kick in it.
It's the espresso of liquor.
And you downed those things like nothing.
Yeah, and two of them.
I love cookies, don't you?
I think that I, and lo and behold, the gods have came to me like saying, look.
Came to you?
I know that you're not getting any James Bond content lately, so I'll just give you this. Daniel Craig is now confirmed for Bond 25, and I am through the moon. I really love the fact that Daniel Craig is coming back. He's my Bond, much like how Peter Capaldi is my favorite Doctor. Also, I have a bone to pick with a lot of people. Fuck you guys for degrading Spectre, all right? It went back to... James Bond went back to its roots, and you guys take a shit on that. Isn't that what makes James Bond so great? Isn't that what the fan base was built upon? I mean, you have a money penny again. You have Q again. You have a male M in office again. And you have Daniel Craig giving some of the best performances that Bond, the character, has ever seen. And that was all wrapped up in a night. And also, fucking shit. Ever since Thunderball, there was a copyright dispute for the name Spectre and Ernst Strava Blofeld. And all of a sudden, And it was a miracle in itself to bring Ernst Drava Blofeld again. And fucking shit, the name of the movie itself is called Spectre, something that people wasn't able to use before. And video games, if they ever wanted to do like an equivalent, mm-hmm. they had to call it Octopus or something like that. There was a movie called For Your Eyes Only. When the character Blofeld was in there, but they couldn't call him Blofeld because of copyright. But they needed Blofeld to close his story that started in On Her Majesty's Secret Service. All right? So that really fucked over the whole thing. Like, okay, so we're just going to have bad guy number one, bad guy number two, and all that stuff without having a congruent villain. And now we have the best of the James Bond villains, Blofeld, which is played by a really fucking good actor, Christoph Waltz. And he's giving, and also a thing that I like about it is, like, much like how I view the Prince of Egypt, the better Moses story, I find that this is the better Blofeld story because they're actually adopted brothers. You know, so that really adds to this whole level and depth of what Daniel Craig's era did. And it really showcases the best of what Daniel Craig's Bond era did in Spectre. And so everybody shits on it. Fuck you for that. But anyway.
That's the thing, though, about I want to just jump off on what you said because I agree with you. I do not, and Peter also agrees, I do not understand the hate for Spectre. Because I saw it with Peter, and we thought it was great. We had a blast. And for me, I had more fun with Spectre than I did with any of the previous Daniel Craig Bond films. Because for me, I think Spectre is that old school Bond that I like, that feel of it that I wanted to have with the other three. I mean, I saw Skyfall and Casino Royale, and they're both great films. And I'm not saying that Spectre is better, but like, it's not as if Spectre isn't like great. It's really great, and people dismiss it and crap on it as if it was a piece of shit. And I don't understand that at all.
And also, I think that Skyfall, there's a lot of great things about it, mm-hmm. but I do feel like it's a tad bit overhyped.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
It's my feeling for Wonder Woman.
Yeah, I mean, and again, Christoph Waltz was great. Also, Dave Bautista was great, which people forget. Daniel Craig, Ben Whishaw, Ray Fiennes, Naomi Harris, even Léa Seydoux,
played Madeleine Swann.
Yes. It was a great story. It was great action. It was classic James Bond. I had no complaints. I had a blast. It was an enjoyment.
I felt like I was watching a 60s James Bond movie brought to the modern era.
And I don't see why people had a problem with it. Like, it's not. It's one of those movies like, how shall I put this? Like a Spider-Man 3 or Pirates of the Caribbean, where it's like people just automatically dismiss it as less than this, and we're not even going to argue or debate it. It's this, and let's accept it and move on. No. And by the way, to this news about James Bond coming back, I mean, Daniel Craig? Yeah. Why not? I mean, I don't want anybody else. I want him to stay.
Spectre is a movie that Daniel Craig poured his blood, sweat, and tears, literally.
Yeah.
Because he produced the movie as well.
I mean, he tried to slit his wrist.
So, and he said, I'm sweet, but he just got fresh off of filming, you know? So, of course you'd want to, you'd say stuff like that. I mean,
$101 million check can change anybody's mind.
Yeah. But, I mean, come on. He's the best Bond. I mean, if you've resurrected Sean Connery back from the... he's still alive.
But is Sam Mendes coming back?
No, Sam Mendes is not coming back. But there are so many other directors that they could pick mm-hmm. to do a James Bond movie that, you know, I'm not even mad. I mean, Sam Mendes, he does do Bond.
How about Joe and Anthony Russo?
That's pretty interesting.
That's interesting, isn't it?
That's pretty interesting. That is very interesting.
The action alone would be in, like...
You know who's always wanted to do a James Bond film, but has never gotten the chance to do it? He almost did, but George Lucas kind of convinced him to do a movie called Raiders of the Lost Ark instead.
Steven Spielberg?
Spielberg.
Yeah.
Spielberg's always wanted to do a James Bond movie. Mm-hmm. Would you be opposed to a Spielberg-directed Bond movie?
Spielberg can do anything.
With Daniel Craig at the helm?
Spielberg can do anything and I'll watch it.
So that would be kind of cool. Adele is also in speculation to return to do the theme song for the
film. If she still has a voice by then.
You're on a roll today, aren't you, Mr. Soto? Anyway.
I mean, you know, because she kind of broke her vocal cords again.
All right, let's see if something rolls off the tongue, Alexis. Cars 3. You saw the movie, yes?
Speaking of, like, on things getting shit on. All right. I have another PSA.
Here we go.
All right, so I actually went to go see Cars 3 last night. And that was July 8th, 9th, whatever day we're on. And this movie opened, I want to say, in the beginning of June. So it took me a while to see Cars 3, mostly because the people at Red Spotlight Network are against Pixar, and so they refused an invitation to see the film with me.
Hey, I'm just trying to save money because we got a lot of movies to watch.
But the fact that people completely dismissed and ignored it, I think, is part of my review. Here's my review. I was stunned. And I was impressed. Cars 3 is good. It's really good. The thing about Cars 3, it doesn't even address 2. It's as if it never even happened. So that's
it's probably, by canon.
No, probably not.
It's the official Cars 2. Yeah.
So, but like, it is the best of the films. I think it's even better than the first one.
Yeah.
First of all, the animation is breathtaking. The landscapes, the mountain ranges, the portrait-like visuals. It is a beautifully crafted film. And I just saw so many times...
No spies?
No. So many times you're looking at it and you're just like, oh my God, like they really, really did a lot of work with the animation. I'll tell you one moment where they're at Radiator Springs,
mm-hmm.
and it looks like Cars Land. And it's one of those things where you realize
it is built on upon the movie.
Of course, yeah. But it really, that's the moment where you see that they really did their work when it came to crafting that themed land. But there were moments in this movie where here's what went through my mind. This is funny. This is smart. This is a really good story. Great character moments. And at the end of the day, they give to us a film, the film that I wanted. They gave to us a film that more than made up for the second one. It redeemed these characters. It brought this series to, I'm not even going to say worthy, a more than worthy conclusion.
It redeemed the name.
No, yeah, definitely. And here's the thing. I think a lot of people went into this. Well, I'm not even going to say went into this. A lot of people didn't even see this movie. A lot of people just assumed based on the trailers, and here's what that first trailer made people look. But then the subsequent trailers, oh my God, this looks like the exact same thing. I don't want to go anywhere near this. That's that was my impression. I imagine that was your impression too with the trailers.
No, it had nothing to do with the trailers.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, I still have a horrible taste in my mouth from Cars 2.
Well, I'm here to say get over it. Get the fuck over it. No, seriously, because I think you've heard more than enough from our group of friends. Alexis, Nettie, Eric,
me. I never said I didn't want to see it.
Well, look, here's the thing. It's not that you wanting to see it or not. It's not really about you. I'm just saying in general, I think a lot of people didn't give this movie a chance. And I think you're right. The stench of Cars 2 is still there. And the trailers didn't really help matters much at all. And a lot of people just assumed the last one wasn't good at all. The trailers don't interest me. I'm kind of done with these movies. I don't want to see it.
I'll tell you what turned me on. That fucking first teaser trailer mm-hmm. that we got when it looked like NASCAR. Like I was watching a NASCAR thing. And then to see like lightning completely like his body completely like decimated. I'm like, holy shit. This got dark quick.
Look, I love this movie. I absolutely adored it because it actually exceeded my expectations. I thought it was going to be, like, barely good. This was really good. it's one of their best sequels. And I think this, for me, I know not for you and definitely not for Peter, this to me cements the legacy of the Pixar sequels. And here's my issue that people, you know, the theme of this podcast is fuck you, the world, for shitting on the things that we love, really. Here's where my issue is concerned.
Isn't that every podcast?
No, I think this one in particular. Pixar has given the world some of the best films ever crafted. Legendary masterpieces. And a lot of people are dismayed by the fact that these past couple of years have been nothing but sequels. As if sequels in general are a bad thing on their own. And for me, it kind of really dismayed that a lot of people have turned their backs completely. And I think Cars 3 kind of, because it wasn't even given the chance, it did well at the box office. But it wasn't talked about enough. It was already dismissed as another Cars movie. If you didn't like the last two, you're not going to like this one. That was the conversation that we were hearing from people who review films. And it's already been left in the dust, pun intended, and forgotten about. And you know what's funny is that the story in this film...
Does that drive you crazy?
The story of this film is about Lightning McQueen being left in the dust and like retirement and getting old. And I think what they do with this is rather unique. I'm not going to give away the ending, but they do something that I wasn't expecting. Like the entire film, you think, okay, they're going to go through this here and that there, and it's going to end this way. No. It really, I think, turned the tables, and I think this is what the Pixar sequels have been doing. Is that they've given us endings that mean something and are substantial, and I think people have been completely dismissing them. And thank God I have no Peter here to rebut this, because he would be shitting all over this. Monsters University had a really great message. It's okay to be okay. And I think that kind of encapsulates the sequel, especially that one. It wasn't a particularly good movie, but it's okay. I thought that film had a profound message to say that, you know what, sometimes your dreams just, they can't happen. But that's okay. The thing with Finding Dory. That whole film was a whole introspective as to psychologically who that character was. And again, it was a great sequel. I'm just, literally my heart breaks that so many people have abandoned Pixar and have turned their backs on them simply because they're choosing to do new stories with established properties. And here, it's gotten to the point where a lot of people have just like, look, they're doing a sequel. It's not original. It's not Pixar.
Oh, that's
I'm out.
Nice.
I'm out. I'm not going to check it out. I'm just like, you know what? I'm not going to see Pixar unless it's an original story, unless it has this, it has that, if it has an established property, unless it's The Incredibles. Apparently, because they're the one thing that everybody wants a sequel. And you know what? How freaking selfish is that? And this is for the audience to step back and take a look in the mirror. Because this is completely selfish. I feel that a lot of the reason you're seeing this dismay toward the Pixar sequels is because there's only ever been one Pixar sequel that people have been wanting, and that's The Incredibles. And they've been forced to wait and wait and wait. And I'm sorry, but Pixar has the right to make whatever story they want in whatever capacity they want. And it infuriates me that even us, like, we've gotten to the point where a Pixar movie was an event. It was a must. And now we have people within our own circle of friends who absolutely, you know what, there are better movies coming out. Pixar can wait. I'm sorry, I understand that you want to see other movies, but that's what you're saying. Pixar can wait. I'm just going to ignore this movie because there are other things that interest me more. And that's sad, because Pixar used to be a place where you would see it on day one. And now people are turning their backs. And I'm sorry, I refuse to go with the grain here. I thought Finding Dory was great. I thought Cars 3 was great. I think the biggest tragedy is that they really tried. They brought something that was worthy of the Pixar name, and you guys dismissed it out of hand. And I feel that is completely unfortunate and saddening.
On that note, the MCU is doing really good.
Yeah, well, didn't they just cross $12 billion worldwide?
Yeah.
Isn't that nice?
That is really nice.
It also, like, Spider-Man Homecoming, this was the first weekend. It opened to $117 million
domestically,
which is now the second biggest opening for a Sony film ever of all time. And it is slightly above expectations. I think the people had it at $100 million. That was the projections.
And now it's 117.
Mm-hmm. Which is amazing. Those are the official numbers. To have a $117 million opening for a Spider-Man film that follows The Amazing Spider-Man, it really tells you that Marvel did a good job.
I like how you didn't add a number in there.
Yeah, Marvel did a good job marketing this film. Not Sony. Sony oversaturated it for sure. I think some people were wondering why it wasn't bigger. And honestly, I thought this was a great number considering what came before it. And the reality is a lot of
like,
people...
Like, what do you mean, like, bigger? Like, the numbers?
Yeah, yeah. I think people were expecting, like, 140, 150 million opening.
Well, this is the third incarnation.
It's the third reboot in such a small amount of time. And you have to deal with saturation and fatigue and things here and that there.
I mean, when did we get The Amazing Spider-Man 2? 2013?
No, 2014.
Oh, 2014.
It wasn't like, yeah.
So there you go. 3 years. 3 years. The paint is still wet on that movie. And so you get what you get with this.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, the reason why it was so strong, again, aside from it having the Marvel name, it's a really good movie. And it had a great word of mouth.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of spread sporadically. Mm-hmm. Like, what the... What's it called? The embargo dropped
right.
Like 2 weeks prior. Mm-hmm. So that was another good thing.
I'm pretty sure a lot of those people were on the fence about this film, considering what Spider-Man movie came before it. But the reviews really helped to kind of, you know, again, I mean, it's not to be underestimated, the power of word of mouth. Mm-hmm. It definitely helped, and I'm really curious to see what the second Spider-Man does. Opening weekend.
Yeah, I think it'll have that.
Much bigger numbers.
If you want to fully get what we thought about it, check out our
previous podcast.
Previous podcast, yeah. So that's it.
What's next, Kyle?
Your favorite director? Your favorite director? It's a stalling noise that I make. Your favorite director is working with two famous composers. Alan Silvestri,
mm-hmm.
and of course John
Alan
Williams.
Silvestri.
Whatever.
No, you mean
tomato.
No, you mispronounce every person's name.
Anyway, John Williams is working on a movie called The Papers.
Mm-hmm.
Explain to me what The Papers is, Alexis.
The Papers is the upcoming Watergate-esque political drama starring Meryl Streep and Tom Hanks, and that's the movie that will be scored by John Williams.
And we're also getting the much-anticipated adaption mm-hmm. of the popular book, Ready Player One,
mm-hmm.
which is...
I have no idea what that's about. It's all I know is it's about Spielberg references. I don't know. And apparently, but that one's going to be more... Ready Player One is going to be like more of Spielberg's earlier work, like Jurassic Park or Jaws. And I think for that kind of movie, Alan Silvestri is perfect for that kind of score.
I mean, he's done amazing. I mean, obviously, we could talk about John Williams all day, but... Mm-hmm.
Back to the Future, Forrest Gump, The Avengers, Captain America, all those great themes.
Yeah, and I think they're all terrific scores. Mm-hmm. I think... Like when you think about like Back to the Future, mm-hmm. the theme song automatically comes on by association, you know. So it's these are definitely people to like. Wow, what a great resume! What a great things! And you know that you're gonna probably get, not probably, you are gonna get a memorable score out of both of these. Mm-hmm. So I think it's good.
And it's also just a great time to be a Spielberg fan. I mean, The Papers looks like it's gonna be great. We have Meryl Streep and Tom Hanks, the best living actors, I mean, working actors now, officially, in this business. And then you have Ready Player One, which looks like an instant classic to come with Mark Rylance. Oh, and then after that, you have Indiana Jones 5.
What that old fuck? D23.
Mm-hmm.
D23.
What about it?
We're going to get a Marvel panel, of course. Of course. Infinity War.
Oh, no, no, no.
Marvel section.
Yes, in the live action, I believe Alexis Moreno will be there for that.
Yeah.
That's going to be exciting. That Disney announced at their D23 during their live action panel, where they present all of their upcoming live action films, that there will be a special presentation for Avengers Infinity War. So probably she's going to get to see some footage that probably won't be available to the public, you know, because D23 and stuff.
Yeah.
So that's going to be great. And I think it also, we also just heard recently that Marvel is going to also be at Comic-Con. As somebody on this show correctly stated, as somebody who was being told he was losing it, turns out that person was right. They're going to have a 90-minute long presentation at Comic-Con, and they'll be the last people to present on Saturday night at Hall H. So, yeah, I think it's exciting. Right now, we barely have any news to discuss, but once D23 happens and once Comic-Con gets here,
oh yeah,
yep.
So that
that's it.
That's great. I think I'm gonna reserve my thoughts until the actual panels are actually there, and that's when the real discussion begins. But right now, this is a good in between podcast. Anyway, I'm your host Kyle Lira. With me, I have my co-host with me, Alexis Soto.
It's been real.
Yeah. Keeping it real. This is number 54. Marvel Shaken Not Stirred. Tori and Kermit, take it away.
Sister, why are there so many songs about rainbows? And what's on the other side?
Rainbows are visions, but only illusions. Rainbows have nothing to hide.
So we've been told, and some choose to believe it, but I know they're wrong. Wait and see.
Yeah. Someday we'll find it,
yeah.
The rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers.
Wow, I wish I could sing like you.
Who said that every wish would be heard and answered? Who wished on the morning star?
Well, you know, somebody just thought of that, and someone believed it. And look what it's done so far. You know?
What's so amazing? That keeps us stargazing. What do we think we might see?
Someday we'll find it. The rainbow connection. The lovers, the dreamers, and me. All of us under its spell. We know that it's probably magic. Calling my name.
Is this the sweet sound that calls the young sailor?
The voice might be one and the same.
I've heard it too many times to ignore it. Something that I'm supposed to be.
Yeah. Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me.